This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, thanks for pushing play on the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights, the sounds, the scenes, the people. And on Tuesdays, Takeover Tuesday, where the people, the listeners, that's you, take over. And we have, let's get to these pleasantries. I am under a time crunch today, so we're going to blast right through this, but I'm still going to have fun. So, if you're not already subscribing on YouTube, go to YouTube. Hit subscribe at Brightside Home Theater. Also, follow me along on Twitter at BrightsideHT. Lots of fun stuff has been popping up there lately. So, if you're not a fan of Twitter, I understand. But give it a try. Only follow home theater people because they're fantastic. And it's a great experience. And I'm having fun with it. And I think all the people that are and joining in on the conversation over there, having fun with it too. So, but if you truly refuse and you still want to communicate with me, all you got to do is email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. You do that and we can have conversations there. So I have a few of those going on right now. And lastly, if you'd like to subscribe or it's not really a subscription because you don't need a subscription. This is a completely free listener-supported podcast. You give me my content on Tuesdays. You support me monetarily. If you would like to, you can go to patreon.com/brightsidehometheater and sign up for a monthly donation, as little as a dollar or as much as you'd like. Very simple. And we have a bunch. I was remiss last week. I forgot, sat down, got going, and I was like, oh, I forgot to put together the list of all of my donors. And so let's blast right through that. And this goes in order of people, from the first person to ever donate was Reginald. Thank you very much, Reginald, because what was meaningful about that is he signed up before I even announced it. It was just sitting there. So Reginald actually sought out a way to support me, and I hadn't even asked for it yet. I just set up the Patreon account, kept it quiet, just sitting there. And next thing I knew, I was like, oh, wow, look at that. So thank you very much, Reginald. I really appreciate that. And then let's get through the rest of them. We have John. I'll go first names only, obviously. John, David, Ilango, Anthony, Brad, Paul, Graham, Carl, Brian, Tom, Vincent, Dean, John, David, Matt, and Nelson. And I went back up this month. I was down to 16, but then I'm back up to 17. So thank you to everybody. And we also had John Z, I'll say. He actually upped his donation this month. So he went from, you know, I don't want to give out what people are giving, but he actually bumped up, and he was already given some decent money and he bumped it up. So thank you very much, John. I really appreciate that. I hadn't seen that, and that took place, I think, at the beginning of January. So when I was looking at my, I hardly ever go to Patreon. I go there at the beginning of the month to check out this stuff. And so thank you very much, John. I really appreciate that. All right, let's get to all of the new Twitter followers. We had a bunch this week. We have David Schultz, at DF Schultz, Harry Miras, at Harry_Miras, M-I-R-A-S. We have Zay Pedro, at Homies, at H-O-M-I-E-Z-E, Vivek, at C-Vivek, DVD Mike, at DVD Mike, at Rob Krieger. We also have, that's Rob Krieger, at Rob Krieger. Goran Black, at Goran Black. Pretty simple. Jalen, at JPWA. Well, that's actually locked. Sorry about that. And John Atta, or at Zarknall. So thank you, everybody, for following along. DVD Mike and I had a quick little conversation. We may be working on something together. I got some fun stuff in the works coming up. So just having fun, having a lot of fun. And also, congratulations to Alvin Cole. He received his copy of Dune. He said, big shout out to @BrightsideHT for the Dune thank you giveaway. Can't wait to pop this in and give my theater a workout. And yeah, it is a very good workout. Very crisp sound. I've been using that a lot lately, but I really, really enjoy. I've seen that movie a couple of times on DVD now, quite a few times in general, between streaming and then DVD. But yeah, really, really enjoyed that. Nice bass in that. And the picture is really nice too. Hopefully they come out with an IMAX enhanced version for us on DVD somewhere, but that would be nice. So, all right. Thanks, Alvin. Congratulations. Thanks for playing along. There will be more giveaways this month. Mark V, awesome idea with the clip. Gives people a visual into the podcast and what they can see on YouTube. And thanks, Mark. And yeah, hey, I'm thinking. Actually, that whole idea of me putting out the clips on Twitter, I've had that for a while, but I didn't know how to do it. I'm still learning how to use this software and everything that I use to record and edit. And I just figured out how to do it. And I can, so I spent some time, I made that clip. And there's another clip out there, if you guys don't know already, but there's another clip out there from Tenet. So it took me about an hour and a half to make that one clip, the one that I did for Day After Tomorrow. But that meant I'm now learning how to use the editing software and create workshops so that now I have a clips workshop that I just go in and I can do it. So like I said, an hour and a half to create that one clip. Then I said, let's do a Tenet one. It took me 10 minutes. And it was like, I just drop in the Tenet clip, boom, 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 chop it up, make it nice, boom, and produce it. It's done. So I can make a clip in like 10 minutes now. And that's what I want to do going forward. I'm going to start adding clips. And for you guys to see those clips, you can go to Instagram, Brightside Home Theaters on Instagram now. It's Brightside HT Clips. Pretty simple. On Instagram, Brightside HT Clips. I will also be playing those clips on Twitter as well, but the catalog of them will all be on Brightside HT Clips on Instagram. So I thought that would be kind of fun, pretty simple to do. And I just, like Mark said, a little bit of exposure shows people what the podcast is about. And hey, if they like it, they can see more. And if they don't like it, no harm, no foul. It's only about a minute long. Bertrand says, Tenet's intro is the best one for me to showcase my home theater. And yeah, he's right. The intro to that is fantastic. And when I got Bertrand's tweet, it gave me a great idea for a podcast. I'm going to do an episode where I list like my top five favorite, maybe even 10. I'm going to see how I can do, but favorite demo discs that all you got to do is push play, right? So we all love great scenes. And that's what my podcast is about, is all these great scenes, but it's always, okay, put your disc in, find this scene, go to this, you know, timestamp, and now enjoy the scene, right? Well, there's a bunch of discs out there that you just put the disc in and you just push play, and it just, you can blow people away. So I'm compiling that list right now. If you have any suggestions for discs that you know you can just push play, let me know and I'll add them to the list. But yeah, I thought that would be a good podcast to do. I thought that would be a lot of fun. I already have a few of my own that I've used over the years. Some of them are older, and I got a couple of newer ones, but yeah, I thought that would be a fun podcast. Thanks, Bertrand. Thanks for the inspiration, buddy. Mark V again. How dare you call our hobby a waste of money, LOL. While my wife would agree with you, I consider it an investment towards mental health. Ha ha ha. See, I need this. And I could not agree with you more, Mark. Yes, it is a waste of money. But my wife also knows that it's for my mental health. It's, this is what I do to relax. This is what I do to have fun. This is my hobby. This is one of my hobbies. That's the tough part. But yeah, it is. It's part of our mental health. And if we're not doing this, what are we doing? You know, I mean, there's worse ways to spend your money, and there's better ways too. But yeah, it is a waste of money, but it's a great time. So this email was fantastic from G. Cornell because it had me going all week long. So he says, G. Cornell says, if I understood you correctly, you listen at reference level to hear all the details? Question mark. I said, and then he says, not sure I agree here. I don't play anywhere close to reference, and I hear every ounce of detail. I mentioned the scene in X-Files where Scully and Mulder whisper, if you need to play at reference in your HT, perhaps you consider a different center speaker as a starting point, as well as modification of room acoustics and your room treatments. If I had magic powers, I would snap my fingers, and your center speaker would transform into a Revel voice too. Just saying, dot, dot, dot. So I replied to G. Cornell, and this is a big misconception, in that if you improve your speakers and you improve this, you're going to get a better, you're going to get a more detailed sound, or which you can't. I'm not running very cheap, inexpensive speakers. I'm not running high end speakers, but my speakers are pretty good. I've got the NHT C series, and they're comparable to a lot of stuff that's even maybe twice the price. They're good, neutral sounding speaker. And when I say I listen to the details and what I said to G. Cornell, I never said it was to hear my center channel. My center channel is fine. I think all my speakers are fine. My details that I'm always talking about when you listen to the podcast is the details on the sides, the behind you, the stuff around you, the little tiny things that are going on, the chatter that you get from the ambient sounds. And if you're not listening at reference level, even with dynamic EQ on, you're losing a little bit of what is potentially there. And the further down you go from reference level, the more you're losing, especially the bass. So if you're not listening at reference level, when you drop that down, you might not be getting that lower end bass that you're that punch in the gut because you've dropped that down. Dynamic EQ is going to compensate that a little bit. But there is a compromise there because the dynamic EQ is going to be boosting certain sounds that are now inaudible because you've lowered the volume. So dynamic EQ is going to take certain frequencies that are now inaudible, and they're going to boost those up, where other ones, maybe they're still within range, so they don't need to be boosted. So you're actually getting a modified version of what was originally intended on the disc. Let's not get into whole Disney Plus or Disney discs, volume, whatever. But what I'm saying is reference level is what you know. Is that's where you're getting everything that's supposed to be coming through. The beauty of reference level in the movies is that we have it. Like, there is no reference level in music. If you listen to the AV rant guys and you HT guys, they'll tell you that all the music is all over the place. You put in one CD and it's going to be like wicked, crazy loud. And then another one, and it's a little lower. But movies have a reference level. So we know. That's how we know when we have a bad disc from a good disc. When we have a Disney disc that doesn't really meet our criteria. So you also can get that. You can say, I'm only listening to minus 10 dB. That's fine. That's great. But the thing is, if you always listen at that, you'll get the same effect of knowing a good disc from a bad disc and blah, blah, blah. But you're still knocking 10 dB off of what reference is. And even with like an Odyssey, you know, with an EQ type thing where it's going to boost it up, a dynamic EQ, excuse me, it's going to boost up certain sounds. It's a compromise. You're actually modifying the soundtrack to a degree. So I don't want to do that. Now, I don't every single time I watch a movie, watch in reference level. I try to, but some movies are actually louder than I would really prefer. So when I'm watching them casually, I'll drop it like 5 dB. But when I'm doing all of my reviews, I always listen in reference level because I want to make sure I can pull out everything that I can pull out, every little detail, And that's very seldom has anything to do with the center channel. It's all the other little noises that are going on and the bass notes that are coming up through the floor. And you're probably losing those if you're listening at a, like, as in G. Cornell says, he says, substantial, not even anywhere close. If he's not anywhere close to reference, you could be losing some sounds there, buddy. But I already said that. I explained that to him in an email, and we went back and forth a little bit. But that's why I listen at reference level. And, oh, and the other thing is my room treatments. The reason I can listen at reference level is because of my room treatments. I have my back wall is 6 inches of insulation with cloth over it, with acoustically transparent cloth over it. My front wall is 100% treated. My screen isn't acoustically transparent, so that's bouncing sound. But the entire front wall is treated. I have treatments on the sides. I have pillows all over the place. But as I improved my treatments around the room, what I ended up finding is I could play at a louder and louder level inside the room. I used to listen at probably minus 15 dB years and years ago before I did the rear wall, before I added more and more treatments. I was listening at minus 15 dB and it was loud, really loud in the room. But it wasn't so bad outside the room, like meaning the rest of the house. As I added more treatments, it got a little bit quieter in the room. It's still like, now I can feel the bass. Now I can get the punch, because now the sound in the room is just really what's coming from the speakers. It's very little bouncing around. So at minus 15 dB with not as much room treatments, not even near as much, I had all that sound bouncing around, making my room really loud. But the rest of the house, it wasn't feeling it, right? Now, go in the reverse, plus 15 dB in the room feels great. I can hear everything. It doesn't hurt me. It's not extremely loud to me. I mean, it is loud, but it's comfortable in the room. But the rest of the house is getting punched because it's boom, 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 because I'm getting 100% of every bass note. I'm getting 100% of everything. And the sound pressure in the room is built up. It's just great. So the house feels it more now than it did then, but I feel it less in the room. That's how much room treatments affect your sound. It makes it better for your speakers. You get better localization because now you're not competing against all of that sound bouncing around the room. I have so much absorption, enough absorption, I should say, that I can listen at reference level. So something to consider if you don't have a lot of room treatments. All right, let's move along. WV Brew at Brightside HT, Tragedy of Macbeth, Apple TV Plus, black and white, different aspect ratio, great production, very bold, cinematic. I can't wait to see this. My wife and I haven't seen this yet. I've been waiting to sit down with her and watch it. But it looks really good. I've seen like the first 5 minutes of it. I'm really looking forward to it. We actually just watched Ghostbusters Afterlife the other day, her and I, and on Blu-ray, 4K Blu-ray. And that is fantastic. Fantastic. I didn't even include that tweet in here. I'll have to look it up, but, Mark V tweeted, I'm sorry, and he forgot to tag me to it. And that's why I didn't see it. It wasn't in my notifications. But he asked me if I would, Mark V is like, I just saw, I need a review on this. But I love the movie. Here's my review for today. Mark V and to everybody else. Ghostbusters Afterlife, a fantastic cinematic or home theater experience. Great bass, tight bass. Great pans, great sounds all around the room. And it's not overly done. It's a great nostalgic story. If you know the old Ghostbusters, I thought it was fantastic. The special effects, if you haven't seen it, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you have seen it, you'll know what I'm talking about. You may get teary-eyed. I didn't, because I was so taken aback with how they did that. I was so watching it. They did such a good job. such great choices in directing on how they did these scenes. I thought it was fantastic. Well done. It's a great movie, but it doesn't live up to the level of doing a review now. Okay. Certain movies, I come out of the gate and I'm like, I can't wait a year to talk about this. I just did Tenet because it came out a year ago. I try to wait because everybody and their brother's talking about Ghostbusters Afterlife right now. So how cool would it be a year from now when I talk Ghostbusters Afterlife and we get to break it out and take a little dust off the top of it and relive it again? That's what I like to try to do here at this podcast is I want to get your movies off of your shelf. Everybody has Ghostbusters Afterlife off their shelf right now. I don't need to promote that. And if I do it right now, if I do a review on it and tell everybody about it, well, then it goes on the shelf and we have no opportunity in the future to really sit down and have fun with it again. So that's why I save my reviews for big movies. Like I think I did Godzilla and Godzilla versus Kong like right away because I had just done Godzilla, but there's usually, I hadn't really thought of how I was doing things at the time, but I've really kind of found my groove here, and I like the idea that I'm helping people get discs off the shelf, and that's why I pick the movies that I pick. I like to pick older movies, and we have some great new stuff coming out, but everybody's talking about that. I don't want to be like everybody else. Look at me. Okay, we have from Tom an email. Great show. Takeover Tuesday, February 1st. He says, "Hi, DJ. Great show on Tuesday. Loved your comments on Reddit. Won't go there either." Yeah, I prefer just to listen to people complain about Reddit because it is. It's just, now that's a place that's a cesspool because I just feel like if people are wrong and then there's a lot of haters, I don't find it useful. But he goes on to say, "I did see that crazy expensive Sony projector that you mentioned on your show. I was at Audio Advice in Raleigh, North Carolina, working with them on a home theater design. They gave me a demo with this Sony since they received a demo unit to test/display. Long story short, that Sony was so bright I was blinking or closing my eyes during certain scenes of the demo. The Audio Advice folks said this really is geared towards theaters with 200-inch screens or greater. Great show as always. I've been enjoying learning about home theater for many, many years. Recently retired, and I have my first real home theater in this house. The build and installation was completed in early December 2021. You were spot on that a theater is a waste of money, but I am totally enjoying every minute I can get in there. It's been a dream for many, many years to have a good theater in the house. Best regards and go push play." Thanks, Tom. Yeah. Congratulations on your theater. That's awesome. You have a good, great working knowledge of home theater. You understand all this stuff. You're working in it. So that's awesome. Those large projectors or those bright projectors, those, you know, light cannons that people like to call them. People don't understand. They think that it's like, I need the brightest possible image I can get. And it's like, you do realize we're going to be dialing this back, right? So like when they display this Sony and they, you know, attest it, display it and get in a demo of it, they have to sell it to you. They have to show you how bright it is. Like Tom said, he's like blinking, closing his eyes because it hurt. But they're trying to show you how bright it can get, which is great. But if you only have like a 120-inch screen or even a 130-inch screen, what are you doing? Because you're going to be dialing that down. If you've ever calibrated any of these and you've tried to use a grayscale and you have to pull that way back, even my Sony, the lowest end 4K Sony, which is the last model, the 325s are out. This is the last model, right? When I'm in my theater, it is on high. It's on high lamp mode, but it is not the brightest possible image because you're not trying to reach the brightest image. You're trying to get all of the image. So you want to have, if you run a grayscale, whether you use the Spears and Munsell or you use anything that you've downloaded, or I use Video Essentials, you'll have your gray bars across the screen. And you'll see if you can go to that super bright, like when I'm watching a movie in my theater will be like, it's fine. All the lights are out. It's completely blacked out. I could actually hit a button and make everything brighter. I have TV bright mode, which makes it blows out the, you know, and I use that when I'm watching sports and all the lights are on in the room. So I can go brighter. But if you ever do that while you're looking at a grayscale, you'll see that all your whites are washed out. All the details are washed out. And then your blacks become brighter. They're not as black. So you're trying to find that balance when you calibrate these projectors or any display, really, even an OLED where you have really bright. Oh, it's really bright. Well, you don't want it cranked all the way up. You want to have that. You want to see that entire grayscale. And that's your contrast ratio. The difference between an accurate bright white and your accurate blackest black. And the brighter your bright white is, chances are your blackest black, especially on a projector, your blackest black is going to be a little bit brighter than if you dialed it down a little bit. So there's a compromise there. You can have the brightest projector in the world. You're going to waste a ton of money on that. And then you bring it into your normal room and it's not a large theater like with a 200-inch screen, you're kind of wasting a lot of money on brightness that you'll never use. Very similar to my subwoofers. My subwoofers are at 2 because they're PB2000s in a tiny room. But I wanted the low frequency, but I have so much headroom there. Well, that's kind of the idea with these projectors. You know, it's like you're going to have a lot of headroom with light. Like if you want to blow a hole through the wall, you can, but you don't need to. So there's a lot to play out there. There's a lot to think about when you're buying a projector. It's more about your details and being able to get all of your grayscale than it is about your brightest brights and your blackest blacks. I want very good blacks, detailed blacks. I don't want it crushed. I don't want it anything like that. I want nice blacks. So that's the best way I can put that. So, all right. Moving along, Theo, my buddy Theo, enjoying your hard work. Great and entertaining, enthusiastic show. Thanks, buddy. All right, here we go. Todd Anderson at AV Woofer. He put out it's time for another top five. This time we're going to be doing top five bank robbery movies. And these are all in his opinion, of course. He starts off with number five, The Town. Really good. I'm going to fly through these. But I really enjoyed this one. Boston movie. I mean, I loved it. We had a little discussion about that on Twitter. Fantastic movie. I remember when it was filmed. Number four, Baby Driver. Here's one with a fantastic opening scene. Talking about opening scenes. Push play. Watch the opening scene on this one. Fantastic. Great Atmos movie. Great sounding movie. Soundtrack, everything. Love that movie as well. Great, great number four. Number five. Oh, I'm sorry. Number five. Look at me. I'm going crazy. Number three, Hell or High Water. Really, really good movie. I love the tone of the movie. It's not monochromatic, but you had that. It's a warm feel all the way through the picture, everything. Fantastic. Hell or High Water. Great movie. Heat. Number two, Heat. Awesome. Hockey Mask. Can't go wrong, right? Heat. It was that shootout at the end. Awesome. Awesome movie. And as number one, he thought he was going to get crap for it. I absolutely love this. It's a Blu-ray, and he's giving away a Blu-ray copy. So if you go on Twitter, follow him, like, retweet this tweet. Number one is Point Break from 1991. Catherine Bigelow, Keanu Reeves, Patrick Swayze, Gary Busey, the presidents. You got the action, Johnny Utah, fantastic movie. I absolutely love this movie. I wanted to call him up and be like, let's do this review. It's a fantastic movie. Love, love the original Point Break. All right. Thanks, Todd. Appreciate that. WV Brew at Brightside HT. Found this on Apple Music. Has some really low bass tones. Narrator explains what track is testing for. It's just not tones. It's beat music of sustained bass will shake your house. Fun. So it's pretty cool. It says Basic Stream is on, and it's on Apple iTunes. So check that out. Really, really cool. Graham Cole at Brightside HT at First Reflect. I wonder how many people can't hear the low bass notes in the ending credits of Book of Boba Fett. It used to be in the beginning also, but that tone has got to be 30 hertz or lower. And Rob actually explained it's probably around, I think he said 35, 45 hertz or something. He knew what the instrument was and everything. But yeah, if you're listening at reference level, you can hear it. It's really, really nice. And it comes up at the end of the show. It's pretty cool. I'm not going to impersonate it. I've done enough of embarrassing myself. Speaking of which, we'll get to that story at the end. At Brightside HT, new component for the system, a Rune Nucleus music server. And that's Reginald coming in with that. And that looks really cool. Really cool. I'm assuming, I'm not really familiar with the Nucleus music server, but I'm guessing it's kind of like a Zapedi for music. Like you put all your music on there so you can access it pretty quickly, pretty easily. Really, really cool. Up next, an email from Joe. He says, a tale of two hard drives. And it's fairly long, so basically I'll summarize it. But I thought it was a really cool experience that I think we've all been through, or if we haven't been through stuff like this, it's good to hear about. So basically what happened is Joe has a TiVo Romeo, and he also has a Kaleidoscape Terror 24. And what happened is one of his hard drives on the Kaleidoscape went, and one of the hard drives on the TiVo went. And on the TiVo, he was able to open it up, drive down to Best Buy, buy a comparable hard drive, pop it in, back up and running. But the problem was he lost everything. With the Kaleidoscape, he was able to, it was still under warranty. So he calls Kaleidoscape and they said, sure, just open it up, ship, take it out, ship it back, and we'll ship you a new one. Well, the original, it was a 6 terabyte hard drive that was in it. So the Terror 24 has 4 6-terabyte hard drives in it. So he popped the bad one out, and the system told him which one was the bad one, which was pretty cool. He pops the bad one out, ships it back to them, and they ship him a new one. Problem was, it kind of got lost in shipping, I think. He said, he gave a description of it, but it got lost on the way there, and then, so it took a little time for it to get back. And as he sums up his email, he goes, I wish I could have best of both worlds and be able to, but oh, that was the other thing, sorry. But the Kaleidoscape, you don't lose anything because when you buy your stuff from Kaleidoscape, it downloads to your hard drive, but they have the backup. So if you ever lose it, if you lose your Kaleidoscape or you get a new one, you wipe that one and download all your stuff to the new one. So you never actually lose anything because they have it and then they just give it back to you again because you've already purchased it. So he didn't lose anything. So that's a really nice feature. So that's what he says. He goes, I wish I could have had the best of both worlds where I could replace both of them and get all my information back within an hour. But one took a long time to do, and the other one, you lost everything, but I replaced it quickly. But he did say you could still use the Kaleidoscape. You can run it. It'll limp along, I guess. I don't think it's limping. But whatever was on the 6, it kind of, like, you lose that. You still have access for it if you know a Kaleidoscape system. You can get those movies. But you can still run the system, so it's not like his system was down while you waited for the new hard drive. It's just instead of having 24 terabytes, you're now down to 18. So, but really cool. Good information. Because one thing that we know in home theater, not everything goes smoothly. So, all right. Ralph Potts at Ralph AVS Reviews sent out this tweet, tagged me in it. Hurt Locker coming on February 22nd, it is a beautiful, beautiful steelbook. And this is exclusive to Best Buy coming out on February 22nd. Really, really beautiful. If you're not looking at this on, if you're not following along on Twitter, that's where you would find this. It is really nice. And if you're on Twitter and you're not following Ralph, he does these reviews. He has this in. He's hoping to have the review for this out this week. But yeah, Hurt Locker, really looking forward to that one. 4K UHD Steelbook Collection. So really cool. All right, let's get into Day After Tomorrow comments. So we have Adriano the Nerd. Fun movie. Haven't seen it in years, though. See, that's my point. Sorry, Mark. I'm more into Roland Emmerich's follow-up to this, 2012, and the absolute absurdity of fun that movie brings. Absolutely. And I actually messed around with doing 2012, but with the storm coming, I was like, how do I not do this movie, right? I mean, I'm in the middle of a blizzard, and my wife and I'm like, so we watched the movie. I did the podcast. It was fantastic. Fantastic. The motivation. Plus, I like the idea that it's not getting the love of the more recent 2012, that it does have a 4K disc. It says, I've got the Blu-ray. Steve George, I've got the Blu-ray. May have to revisit it. Been ages since I watched it as well. See? Huh? I'm getting people to pull movies off the shelf. That's the best. Adriano, watching a movie about a blizzard during a blizzard, that just takes Atmos to a whole new level. And Adriano, I'm sorry. I didn't see this tweet until I sat down today to record the podcast and I started pulling out the tweets. I don't know how I missed that. That's fantastic. That was a great comment. Thanks, buddy. Rob's Media Vault says Disney Plus has this in 4K HDR at the moment, so hopefully it will come to disc soon. And then I got Andreas Wagner on Twitter says the Disney Plus transfer in 4K does not look very good at all. After 30 minutes, I decided to watch my Blu-ray instead. And I went on, so they're over in England. I don't have this here, so that must only be on Disney Plus in Europe because we don't have it on Disney Plus here. In 4K. Otherwise, I would have compared it, but we have no access to any 4K version of that movie in this country. But it sounds like it's not very good anyways. And like I said in the podcast, I think that that image looks really, really good in on the Blu-ray. So it's not HDR, but it does look really good. John Zabreski says on YouTube, says, great episode, DJ. I haven't seen this movie since it was in its theater run. I definitely have to give it another watch. There's another one. See, this is a method to my madness, getting people to watch movies. This one here. Oh, we had a comment talking about laser discs and stuff and different movies. And I mentioned Strange Days, and Germany has a brilliant Blu-ray of it, but we don't have it here in this country. And I was talking to 4K Collective and DVD Mike, and they both have had Laserdisc collections. They've both have been into it that long. And so I may be doing some Laserdisc videos. I had already planned on it. That's why I pulled out all my discs. And then I asked them to join me. And if we can get the schedules to coincide, I'll be putting out short 5-minute Laserdisc review videos, not of the movie itself, but of the jacket and the having fun with Laserdisc, what it was like back in the day, you know? All right, that's the last. Oh, no, there is one more. I owe you guys a story. So I put out on Follow Friday, I put out my little video because Friday morning I had to do reshoots for the podcast. So I made that Follow Friday video because I'd been standing there all morning and I'm like, what the heck? So I finished my podcast early on Thursday morning before I went out to work. All the editing was done. Everything was put together. I was so happy to be nice and on schedule and everything's great. And I'm ready to produce it or ready to put it out onto YouTube and upload it and all that good stuff. And I push play on my YouTube video just for one last check. And there I am in the opening. So I got my new opening standing outside my theater and I'm looking right at the camera, nice up close shot with the 4K camera. And I'm like, hey, home theater nerds. And I look and on the end of my nose is this piece of dead skin. And I'm like, are you bleeping me? I was like, I can't put this out. And that was on Thursday. So I had to go to work all depressed. I was like, the audio could still go out because nobody could see me in the audio, kind of like today. So I was like, all right. But then I slept on it and I'm like, all right, I'll just do the reshoots. I'll re-edit the beginning and the end and just plug that in. I'll take that out. And I'm like, I can't believe I got to do this. I'm doing reshoots for a stupid podcast. So I had to do the reshoots because I didn't want that to go out because it was just like dried skin on the end of my, but it looked bad. I was like, and it was at the beginning and the end because peek behind the curtain, I film that all at once. I walk into the theater and then I come back out and then I cut it in half and I put one at the end, one at the beginning. Woohoo! The magic of movie making, right? But yeah, just don't have dead skin on the end of your nose. So it was just awful. But I knew I was going to tell you guys, and I'm actually, the other little secret is for my Patreon supporters, I'm going to be putting out blooper reels. I'm piecing them together. That's going to be one of them. That'll be there. All my takes that I try to do when I'm doing these things, and I keep screwing up. Because this podcast, believe it or not, what you're listening to right now is one take, beginning to end. I clip everything. I talk beginning to end. My opening and closings, not so much. I have a really hard time with those, and I make a lot of mistakes, so I have to keep redoing it and redoing it. This is what it is. So you're getting what you're getting, the beauty and the warts and all that. So on Tuesdays, but hey, I have something really big coming up on Friday. Very excited for, we have a guest coming in. I'm going to have a great conversation, great home theater conversation. I cannot wait. Check around on Twitter. You'll see information on that. But yeah, that's coming up on Friday. So hopefully check that out, and look for some clips and stuff like that, and check out over on Instagram at Brightside HT Clips. You can see my two clips that I have there. You can go to YouTube, hit subscribe there. Really appreciate that. Follow along on Twitter at Brightside HT. If you're totally against that but still want to say hi, you can email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. And of course, follow along, support the podcast monetarily by going to patreon.com/brightsidehometheater, or you can go to the website where all this information is, brightsidehometheater.com. Thank you very much. Have a great week, everybody. I will be back on Friday, and I will be back next week. Get your questions, comments, critiques, all of that stuff in. Have a great week. Talk to you soon. Go push play.
Hey Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.